name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by a virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in reading responsibly the introit for this morning. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man again whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in reading responsively the gradual for this morning. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this rite of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so, by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter. They went in to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding regions of Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul, writing in his epistle we heard this morning, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. This is the word of the Lord this morning's message is going to be built around. I'm also going to be drawing from the gospel lesson for this morning, where we hear about Jesus teaching the audience there, the members of the synagogue. He's teaching them with authority. But we also hear of another kind of authority that's also in the synagogue, but it's not from Jesus. It deals with an individual who has been possessed by a spirit, and the spirit calls out to Jesus. The spirit basically has taken authority over this man's being, and so the man's not in control of his words or his actions. So we hear Jesus using his authority this morning in two different ways. First, in teaching. His word is authoritative. It moves people. It calms people. It brings the message of God's love to the people. The other authority is in his commanding of the Spirit to leave this man. And so with a word, Jesus removes this unclean spirit. And we note in the gospel text that the people are amazed by Jesus because he is one who teaches with authority. Even unclean spirits obey him. So they are amazed by it. And then we hear that his fame rapidly begins to go out into the community, out into the areas outside of the synagogue. With this gospel proclamation, we see a little more of the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. It's kind of a little bit by little bit, the light is getting brighter and brighter. So we see Jesus teaching in the synagogue with this authority and casting out an unclean spirit. We see God's power shining through Jesus, who is the only Son of God. We also hear a confession, but it's not by the people. It is a confession that does no good to the unclean spirit. But nevertheless, the unclean spirit even declares that Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus isn't interested in an unclean spirit making a confession. So he tells this unclean spirit to be quiet. And then with his voice, Jesus casts that spirit out. So we see more light coming from our Lord. And that's what the Epiphany season is. It is a growing light until we get to the transfiguration of our Lord. And there we see him transfigured into the brightest of light, the very essence of who he is as the Son of God. He is God, not just man, but he is God. But we see Jesus' humanity here. We see Jesus reaching out to this man who has been possessed by an unclean spirit, has been under the authority of this unclean spirit, but Jesus wants him free. And that's the way it is with us as well. Jesus wants us free from sin, free from being under the authority of the law. Because the law actually is that which condemns us when we find that we cannot keep it, because the law demands you keep it. We are incapable of it, and that's why Jesus has come into the world. And we know he has the authority to not only cast out an unclean spirit or to heal the sick or the blind or the deaf. We know he has more authority than just raising individual dead people. He has the power to take away our sins and one day to raise all of us up from the dead so that we can be with him as that new creature he is already making us to be, that new man, that new Adam, that new woman, that new Eve. He's going to make us into those children of his that are truly in his image. So we look to Jesus and what he has accomplished in this short period of time. There's more to come. There's a lot more to come. And we see that in the scriptures. We see Jesus doing all kinds of wonderful miracles. We see Jesus walk on water. We see Jesus feeding 5,000, 4,000. We see Jesus calming storms. We see Jesus going to a cross. We see him willing to lay down his life to have our sins laid upon himself and to die in our place to receive the full wrath of God in our stead. And he does that out of love that he has for us. Now, I started this sermon off with the epistle lesson and talking about that knowledge that puffs up and that love is better because it builds up. We learn what we have learned from God's word, and that word is authoritative for our lives. We learn about our salvation. We learn about our Savior. We learn how to live with one another and how to be God's children. There's so much that Scripture is packed with that helps us and builds us up. But you know, without love, knowledge is no good. Knowledge then gets in the way of God's kingdom and our own growth. That kind of knowledge wants things my way or the highway. But the knowledge that we have from God is a knowledge that reminds us of God's deep love for us. God is love, and that's what John says. God is love. So that love helps us and informs us. It fills us, actually, and it overflows from us to one another. Because Christ loved us and left us an example of his love for us, and also the apostles who loved as Jesus did, were always in the service of giving, in a sense, giving of themselves, even to the point of death. We have them as examples, and we have other Christians down through the ages up to our own time, our own parents perhaps, or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or just a whole congregation maybe. But we experience the love of God in one another, and that comes with knowing God. St. Paul says it's better to be to love God because then you are known by God. And that's true, because we couldn't have that kind of love in us if we were not in God's possession, let's say, if God were not in us. But God is in us, and God leads us to love one another, to think of the other person's needs and to help them where they may stumble, or even perhaps to give up the freedom we have, lest our brother stumble because of our actions. And that's what knowledge, just knowledge without love, is like. It can claim for itself freedom, and that knowledge says, well, you can do this or you can do that. But St. Paul says, you know, but if it hurts a weaker brother whom Christ died for, he says it's better to forego that freedom, to instead, in his own words, become all things to all people. If they are weak in their faith, then walk with them at that point where they are in their faith as they grow, and be an example for them. Don't be a hindrance by exerting what you believe to be your freedom and right at the expense of your brother. Because if they fall, that's a horrible thing, and you're guilty of sinning against Christ. So we don't want to be that way, of course. So let love be that part that envelops the knowledge God has given us. Indeed, it is, because love that is out of faith for God is not void of this kind of love. We look and we see others perhaps struggling in their faith, struggling spiritually over some issue that's going on in their life. We may see a brother or sister struggling with physical needs.
It could be they have suddenly found themselves without a job. They've been evicted from their home. There's any number of things that can happen. And from love, that love which we have from God that tells us and informs us that we can do something. We can reach out and do something. Maybe we can help them get a job. Maybe we can help find some housing for them. There are various solutions, but sometimes it takes more than just our knowledge. But to have love with that knowledge, we are, I think, projected ahead. It's like the catalyst. It's the gas that runs the engine, sort of thing. It's moved. It's motivated by love. And this love has as its object our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus reveals himself to be the source of our life, the source of everything we do. We move and have our being in him. Without him, we really have nothing to offer. The wonderful thing is we will always have Christ, because Christ said those who love him, the Father and he will make their home in their hearts. He will come and dwell within us. So whether we are alive or if we die, we do so in Christ. And that's good news for us. We have the assurance of our salvation in Jesus. We have our assurance that God will always take care of us. He always takes care of us, and he does so through one another. There be times that you might be the one that needs that kind of help, that kind of love reaching to you. And it's a wonderful thing when there's someone that sees that and that need, and they come to you or to me, and they offer that in ways unexpected. It causes you to really know and from the heart that God truly is faithful in his word and promises. And that's what, you know, I kind of was pulling out of these two lessons this morning, for this morning, this part that St. Paul writes about. I think the whole thing is wrapped around that whole message of love that he carries through the whole letter of to the Corinthians. Love is so important because they're kind of splintered, and they need to hear that. They need to hear that they need one another, that they have been given many spiritual gifts from God, and they can use those spiritual gifts properly if they do so out of love. And that's not hard for you and I to find that kind of love in ourselves, because God is right there with us. So that's good news for us. We are overjoyed by it, because we are given authority. Not as Jesus would say, not as the Gentiles do, or, you know, where they lord it over their servants, but instead to become a servant toward one another. And when we do that, we really don't need to worry about what's going to happen in the future, because we have someone looking out for us. We have someone watching our back, because we're also doing that for them. Because we understand this is how God intends our lives to be. Lives that are directed by his gospel, his word, which is authoritative for life. And we give God thanks for that, that Jesus willingly went to the cross, that he died for us and was raised to life for us. By doing that, he has taken up that full authority of his divinity, also within his humanity, but no longer a humbled humanity, but one that has been glorified. And he stands as our intercessor. He stands with us throughout our life, and he will always be with us to help us. And we see that that is the heart of Jesus when we look at the gospel and what took place. We see Jesus in his humanity and his divinity at this moment. It's only a glimpse, but it's going to get real bright on Transfiguration Sunday. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Join in the prayers of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. To the Holy Trinity, who alone is God of gods and Lord of lords, from whom with Jesus Christ are all things, for the revelation of his saving knowledge to us and all the world, that together we may be known by God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church and her ministers, that the God whose voice was heard in Sinai and whose authority was made manifest in Christ the prophet, greater than Moses, would make them diligent to listen to his word and speak it faithfully in his name, and that God would preserve us from false prophets who would lead us away from his truth. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our families and homes, that God would guard them and build them up in love, that he would support parents in their task of instructing their children, that he would strengthen those whose faith is weak, and that he would make us bold to forgo convenience and security to attest the truths of our most holy faith with heart and action. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the health and success of our president and governor, our legislators and judges, and all who serve for our governance and protection, that God would make them high in purpose, wise in counsel, and unwavering in duty, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are sick, distressed, in danger, or facing any need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Wilfred Defoe. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician, who cast out unclean spirits and taught with authority, would sustain them with patience, trusting in his merciful care, and so graciously relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen.